Let us pray. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill to those whom he favors. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I think your mic is on. A lot of angelic voices tonight. So, it's been never complained about, but remarked that I have a lot of Alaska stories. Those of you who have been to St. John's before know this is true. And now things have changed. I have something else I can preach about. You'll see in a moment. But our life has changed. A few days ago, in a sermon, I shared at our early Sunday service the news that has changed my family for the better. We got an early Christmas present this year, adopted, that is, a beautiful 3-year-old Great Pyrenees Golden Retriever named Chester. He is magnificent and gentle and charming, and we are thoroughly in love with him and he with us. In fact, he is so in love with us that he will follow us from room to room, never wanting to be too far away from the action. He'll curl up on our very small kitchen floor like a giant lion rug, making cooking kind of an adventure sport, trying to dice onions and then saute without tripping over the dog. It's a little bit of a challenge. It's very Christmassy with him around. It's like Emmanuel, dog with us. You can groan, it's okay, I'm a dad, I'm used to it. And probably owing in part to the fact that he's been moved around a lot in his life, Chester still doesn't like it when we leave him at home alone on occasions such as tonight. So it is that to ease his nerves and to assure him that he has nothing to fear, we've invested in a kind of doggy monitor, a little camera that helps us to see Chester and even to talk to him, the kind of thing that my parents might regard as overpriced foolishness. I thought it was great until a few mornings ago when I awoke, and in my early morning groggy fuzzy-headedness, I was startled when from the corner of the room a disembodied voice spoke my name, Jared Weber Johnson, and there was nothing there. Like nothing was there. My skin began to crawl until I noticed and my brain finally registered the small white and black box with the circular lens on the front. And I could also hear my wife laughing maniacally downstairs as I recovered from my almost heart attack. Something that she will cherish to the end of her days, considering that I'm usually the practical joker in the house. Later, our eldest son would offer the sobering proclamation that this might have been the most expensive practical joke ever played in our house. And somewhere in this personal story, trust me, is an inkling of the Christmas tale, which is to say, it has equal parts terror and the promise of the divine presence. Well, okay, doggy presence. But I contend that if God had not settled on us to be made in God's image, dogs were undoubtedly the backup plan. Terror and God with us. Fear and love incarnate. In a way, the story of Christmas Eve is the story of these two things, of complete and total vulnerability. To start with, there's the vulnerability of the shepherds. Before they even enter the scene, Luke the evangelist is quick to set the stage. This takes place when Augustus was emperor of Rome and Quirinius, the governor of Rome's puppet state in Syria. The shepherds are already afraid, or they should be, for their lives are small in comparison to the power afoot in their world, in their day. They exist here in this place next to their flocks, huddled in a field in the middle of a census. A census meant to exact the full power of Rome to tax all of its citizens, to assess whatever livestock and livelihood could be squeezed for just a little more coin. Well, this is no bucolic countryside painting of rustic peasants relaxing on a cool Mediterranean hillside. This is a circle of powerless migrants, likely frustrated by the empire and grumbling about it. And even if their conversation remained free of complaint against the empire, These were the kind of vulnerable people who, on a moment's notice, could be rounded up and disappeared, separated from their families and never heard from again. And a bright and unearthly light breaks into their midst, and a voice like the thunder shakes them, and their background, persistent and ever-present fear, amplifies now to terror. As liberationist theologian Justo Gonzalez notes, and I quote, "So the shepherds are terrified, not just because they do not understand what is going on, but also because in their circumstances, any such occurrence might well have dire consequences. One of the ways in which the little people," he says, "one of the ways the little people manage to survive under oppressive regimes is not to call attention to themselves. They seek to go on with their lives unnoticed by the powerful, who could easily crush them. Now these shepherds are literally in the limelight, and an obviously powerful personage confronts them." And then they hear the promise, God's presence is come to them, to all whom God favors. Glory to God in the highest heaven. You see, here again is Christmas, abject terror, and yet the promise of divine presence, complete and total vulnerability. And then, if that's not enough, there's the vulnerability of Mary. And I do not refer here to the tropes that are often preached about Mary, about her gentleness, about her receptivity to God's will, about her supposed obedience. These things may be true, but these are not what I refer to. I speak here of the vulnerability of parenting, of motherhood, of which I can only know by proximity and degrees, but which must have been terrifying nonetheless. For Mary, too, is alive at this space and time, in this political reality, with all the horrors that were visited upon women in her day, that are visited still upon women in ours. The fear of bringing a child into the world as an unwed teen. And there were and still are the painful deprivations and physical stretching, almost to the point of breaking, that she had to endure as a mother. It strikes me as amazing that despite Mary's mighty proclamation, despite her courage and audacity, her yes in the face of such terror, that even today we still ignore and relegate the stories of women and diminish the leadership of women in our world, and especially and often most in our churches. There is a poem making the rounds this winter by Caitlin Hardy Shetler, maybe you've seen it, captured this lived vulnerability in the nativity story and in our churches. She writes, "Sometimes I wonder if Mary breastfed Jesus, if she cried out when he bit her, or if she sobbed when he would not latch. And sometimes I wonder if this is all too vulgar to ask in a church full of men without milk stains on their shirts or coconut oil on their breasts, preaching from pulpits that are still off limits to the Mother of God. But then I think of feeding Jesus, birthing Jesus, the expulsion of blood, the smell of sweat, the salt of a mother's tears onto the soft head of the salt of the earth, feeling lonely and tired, hungry, annoyed, overwhelmed, loving. And I think, if the vulgarity of birth is not honestly preached by men who carry power but not burden, who carry privilege but not labor, who carry authority but not submission, then it should not be preached at all. Because the real scandal of the birth of God lies in the cracked nipples of a 14-year-old girl, and not in the sermons of ministers who say women are too delicate to lead." This is the Christmas story, carried in the bodies of women, spoken first to migrants, entrusted first to the vulnerable of the earth. As the great Frederick Buechner once wrote, "The Word became flesh, ultimate mystery born with a skull you could crush one-handed. Incarnation. It is not tame. It is not touching. It is not beautiful. It is uninhabitable terror. It is unthinkable darkness riven with unbearable light. And yet it is still all these things, beautiful. It is still amazing and wonderful. Tonight we celebrate the greatest mystery ever. That in order to be near to us, in order to be near to each and every one of you, in order to fulfill the promise to be always with us, God became one of us, the most vulnerable among us, a baby born to peasants at the farthest backwater of the world's most powerful empire. And God comes to us still, is born in our midst even now, wherever the vulnerable are. There Christ's incarnation is breaking into the world. There Jesus is being made known. For those suffering under debilitating debt or struggling with depression or addiction, for those who have lost a loved one and are reeling with grief, for those who are estranged or lonely, for those who are afraid and those who feel lost, the story of Christmas is yours most of all, and for unto you a Messiah is given. God with us. Love is known to all of us in the flesh, in the vulnerable and in the tired. For unto you this night is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Merry Christmas.